You know, God gives people gifts. The Bible says He gives gifts to men, and a wonderful voice is one of those wonderful gifts. I just stand in awe. I sit in awe listening to the voices, this young man's voice. Mr. Hoosier's son, right?
Yes. Yes.
Good. Really good. I can't hear you.
You'll take credit.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Really? What a wonderful voice. What a wonderful voice. Anyway, we're going to get started here. Where's... It's there. Okay. We're going to talk about the King of the South and the King of the North. This is happening right now in the world. That clash is building. It's building up to what Daniel calls the end of the age, when these two civilizations clash. It's already happening. It'll continue to happen until the very end and the return of Christ. So we're living in this. We're living in the prophetic advance history of the book of Daniel. Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, the day and the hour we don't know, but just like in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be. People are going to be going along as if nothing is wrong until the floodwaters come and sweep them all away. Now, we don't have to be swept away by the end of the age turmoil, because God gives us the prophecies of the Bible. We can open our Bible, we can read them. One of the greatest prophets who ever lived was the prophet Daniel, and God gave him visions and interpretations of visions, as well as the interpretations of Nebuchadnezzar and his visions. And God said, write them down, Daniel, write them down. Why? So Daniel could remember them? No, to write them down so we can read them. That's why Daniel wrote them down. And they're for us to read those prophecies so that we are aware of what's taking place in the world around us. For the second coming, these two civilizations are going to clash. It's building already in North Africa and the Middle East. I call them counterfeit kingdoms. The idea, the King of the South wants to create a great empire. The King of the North wants to create a great empire. These are nothing but counterfeits of the real thing. Counterfeits of the kingdom of... Remember Hitler? He had the thousand-year Reich. Remember? What was that all about? It was a counterfeit of the 1,000 years rule of Jesus Christ. That's nothing... They're counterfeits. They don't want Jesus to come back and do it. They want to do it. And they want to be the Messiah. They want to be the King of the earth. Psalm 72:8. He shall have dominion over all from the sea, the river, unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. This is what they want. They want to have people licking the dust at their feet. I got to stand in front of the mic. I forgot. They want the people to be licking the dust at their feet. They're not praying to have Jesus return. They're wanting to do it themselves. They want to rule in Jerusalem. Daniel 11:40, the key is at the time of the end. This will happen. The King of the South will push against the King of the North. The King of the North will come down, huge military might into the Middle East, North Africa, control the precious things of Egypt. What's the most precious thing of Egypt today? Can anyone tell me? It's not oil.
Water.
Not water. Suez Canal. It's the Suez. They choke off the Suez. They control the flow of oil to the west. The British and French already went down and reopened it one time. You think they might do it again? Daniel is a prophet who was looking forward in time. We have the advantage of now being able to look backward and see the things that he was talking about and be better prepared, because what happens is that it's like a rehearsal in history. You know, Solomon said, basically, there's nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself, and it does. If you want to know the future, look at the past, and you can see the future and what's going to happen. Daniel gives us the prophecies. We can kind of look back and see what took place with Antiochus Epiphanes and others. And we get an idea, a pretty good idea, what's going to come in the future. Daniel 8:5, as I was considering, this he-goat came out of the west and said his feet didn't touch the ground. And the goat had a notable horn, just one horn, a notable horn. That was Alexander the Great. He took his small army, went into Persia, the great Persian Empire, and defeated them and took over. Took over most of the known world at that time. He was the notable horn. This is his empire. Pretty vast, all the way from Greece, all the way over into, all the way to Afghanistan, down into Egypt. Now, when he was strong, what happened? That horn got broken, the Bible tells us. Daniel says that horn will be broken. Again, we're looking backward. We saw who it was. We saw how it was broken. And it says that there came up four notable horns in its place. And those were the four generals of Alexander. You know, he had a son. He married a princess of Bactria, which is near Pakistan. And they had a son. But his wife, the Bactrian princess, was murdered, and so was the little boy. And so he never was able to pass it on to his posterity, as Daniel says. It would not go to his posterity, Daniel said. And it didn't. They killed the little boy, and the four generals took over. Mighty king shall stand up, rule with great dominion. That was Alexander. Do according to his will, which he did. By the way, his capital was Babylon. He made Babylon his capital. And it's broken, and then split up to the four winds of heaven, Daniel says, in this prophecy. It parallels the previous one I read to you. And it shall not go to his posterity, but to others. This shows a woodcut of the four vulture generals kind of hanging around waiting for Alexander to die. They maybe even helped him along, some people believe. Went to these four men, Cassander. These were four generals, Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. And they fought with one another over their territories, divided it up, and then fought each other to grab the other person's territory. It finally ended up with only two, Seleucus and Ptolemy, and their children, their dynasties, then fought it out, which is what Daniel 11 mainly talks about, is the back and forth struggle between the king of the south and the king of the north at that time. And then it gets to the end time. Okay, this shows you the green part there. That is Cassander took over Greece. Thrace is the yellow. I'm sorry, the orange, which is parts of Turkey today. The yellow was the Seleucids, which is Babylon and Syria. And then Ptolemy, which is blue. Ptolemy was Egypt. They became the great rulers of Egypt. In fact, the most famous Ptolemy was who? Cleopatra. Cleopatra was a Ptolemy. She was Greek. She was not even native Egyptian. She was a Greek She became the last Pharaoh of Egypt. You see the Seleucid Empire there in the middle, and then the Ptolemy in yellow down to the southwest. And then Rome began to rise. Again, what happens with Daniel is he kind of telescopes all this history into, you know, one small chapter of the Bible. Now, this is the beginning of the Roman Empire. This is 2nd century. You see Spain, Italy are both under Roman control. And also that area here, just above Numidia, okay? That is where Hannibal came from. Remember the story of Hannibal? He took the elephants over the Alps and invaded Italy. He was from Carthage. He was Carthaginian. They were the great rivals of Rome. They also were partners with the Israelites. They sailed together, the Carthaginians and the people of Israel under David, Solomon, and others continued to sail with the Carthaginians. They found coins in Carthage that say B'nai B'rit on them. You may find that inscription somewhere around here in this building even. Sons of the Covenant. Okay, Seleucids and the Egyptian empires were both absorbed by Rome. 6930 BC. This is the Roman Empire. 117 AD. Constantinople was founded in 330. This was founded by Emperor Constantine, the famous Emperor Constantine, who made Christianity a legal Roman religion. And he went over and conquered a place called Byzantium. And being the humble man he was, he named it after himself, Constantinople. And that became the capital of the Roman Empire. You don't learn that in Western civilization class, do you? Constantinople became the capital of the Roman Empire. This is his Nix himself. It shows you the Dardanelles, am I correct? Dardanelles, it straddles the Dardanelles, and that's Byzantium, that became Constantinople. It's right in the middle between Europe and Asia, and you control Constantinople, you control all the trade that travels between the East and the West. In 395, the emperor in Constantinople, the emperor of Rome in Constantinople, he died. He split the empire into two, the Western Empire with Rome as the capital, the Eastern Empire with Constantinople as capital, between his two sons. It shows you red and purple, the two halves of the Roman Empire after the split. 476, the last Roman emperor was deposed, and the Germans took over. Became the Holy Roman Empire in the West. Whereas it became the Byzantine Empire, it was called in the East. Notice the double-headed eagle. You find that symbol for both East and West, the two-headed eagle. You find that on the royal arms of the Imperial Germany and Imperial Russia, as well as other countries. This is the Byzantine Empire in red, all the way to the right. They called it the Byzantine Empire. It was really Roman in its base, Greek in its culture. Roman in its style of rulership, Greek in its culture. Now, we're going to switch to the Islamic Caliphate. Meanwhile, while Rome's rising in the north, in the south, Muhammad is conquering, getting tribes in Arabia together under his banner, conquering others. And the Islamic Empire is growing and being created. Pretty soon it's over in Egypt and then North Africa. It moves all the way into Persia, starts expanding. Now in 1924, the man who founded the Turkish Republic, name was Ataturk, he disbanded it, the Caliphate. The Caliphate was an empire ruled by a leader called the Caliph. The caliph is God's representative on earth, just like the pope is supposed to be God's representative on earth. The caliph is the same thing. The human ruler that represents God on earth. And they had different dynasties ruling from different parts of the Arab world, Damascus and Cairo and other places. They had a meeting, 1926, in Cairo, where the Arab countries got together and discussed how they could recreate the Islamic caliphate. Nothing happened. It went underground. Today, there are organizations active today, Al-Qaeda among them, that seek to restore the Islamic caliphate, the empire of Islam. Very active. They're active right now. They just created an emirate in eastern Libya. That is an Islamic emirate run by a guy who was a prisoner at Guantanamo, Al-Qaeda. You hear that in the news lately? You see what's going on? We're in the dark. We can't be in the dark as God's people. We need to know what's going on. The dream of the Islamic caliphate is not dead. It's growing and growing. This is the greatest expanse of the caliphate. Notice how far they got. All of the Middle East, all of North Africa, all the way into Spain. All the way up against little parts of Southern Europe, actually on the other side, Eastern Europe. There were, at the point I showed you on that map, three continents, 500,000 square miles. I'm sorry, 5 million miles. 5 million miles under the caliph on three continents. This is very symbolic. This, everyone recognizes this as the Dome of the Rock. This was built by the caliph at the height of Islamic power. They built it over what they believe was the site of Solomon's temple. That is also symbolic. They would do this. The Arabs and other people who believe in Islam, they will take a site of a church, tear down a famous church, tear down the church and build a mosque. Building a mosque over the site of an Arab or Islamic triumph is symbolic. We may not understand it, but you better believe the Arab world and the Islamic world does understand it. Like the thing in New York. Very symbolic. So this was built at the height. This is symbolic because it shows Islam's dominance over Christianity and Judaism. That's why it's there. They're never going to give up control. They want East Jerusalem as their capital. The Palestinians want that because of this Dome of the Rock. And the Israelis want it as their, they're not going to give it up, as their capital because it's the site of Solomon's temple. They're not going to give it up. They're going to fight to the end over that piece of territory. Okay, they attempted to break through Constantinople twice, two major sieges, one in 674, one in 717. Fortress of Constantinople, they built these giant, thick walls that could not be breached. They held them off twice. They attacked with ships, and then the Byzantines launched Greek fire. They invented Greek fire. And if you saw any movies about that, you can't put it out. You dump water on it, it just gets worse. And they destroyed the navies of the caliph with Greek fire, and they couldn't break through the walls of Constantinople. Stopped them twice. These are the walls. They still stand today. If you go to Istanbul, which is the modern name for Constantinople, you'll see them there. Then they tried from the west. They couldn't do it from the east. Then they tried from the west. They came up through Spain with an Arab army from North Africa. The Battle of Tours, they were stopped by the grandfather of Charlemagne. His name was Charles Martel, the grandfather of Charlemagne. He sent an army. He took an army down there, defeated them in a very famous battle, very decisive battle, because it completely stopped the Arabs from invading Europe from the west. This is a picture of him with his battle axe. They finally were able to bring down Constantinople in 1453. They came back around again the other way. They used these giant cannon. They cast these giant cannon. They fired carved marble rock cannonballs. And they were able to bring down the walls, finally, in 1453. This man, Mahmud, he spent his whole life since he was a little boy. His goal was to bring down the walls of Constantinople, and he was able to do it. He was a Turk. He was an Ottoman Turk. So the Ottomans then had their caliphate, the Ottoman caliphate. They controlled all the trade between East and West. That's why you had the Age of Discovery with Columbus and others trying to find another way to the East, because they didn't want to go through the Arabs. This is the Ottoman caliphate. Vienna. And then they come up against Vienna. Twice they had a siege of Vienna. Twice they were defeated. They could not take Vienna. That stopped the encroachment of the Arabs into Europe in the east. It shows you the double-headed eagle of the Holy Roman Empire. Very similar to the Byzantine Roman eagle. Restored Roman Empire is coming. A long, arduous path lies ahead. However, the Holy See, meaning the Vatican, hopes to see the day born when a new Europe will arise, rich with the fullness of its traditions. That's Pope Paul VI. Europe needs a religious dimension, one and universal, yet present in the multiplicity of the different Christian groups, but, of course, with the Catholics being the main mortar that holds it together. Europe is living largely by their heritage of the Holy Roman Empire. That was Otto von Habsburg, who died here just recently, as a matter of fact. Europeans know this. They know where their roots are. They seek to recreate and reestablish those roots. They want to recreate the empire, which is a counterfeit of the kingdom of God, as the Arabs want to recreate the Islamic caliphate, which is another counterfeit of the kingdom of God. The goal of the king of the north, how many of you heard of the Med Union? The Union of the Med. The greatest driver of this is Nicolas Sarkozy of France. He wants this badly, and that is a unification commercially between Europe and North Africa, the Middle East. And then, of course, that leads to political later. He doesn't say that. That's what happened in Europe. They started a commercial union. Now they're a political union. They want to expand it. Look at the territory. The goal of the king of the south is a restored Islamic caliphate. The land is the same land. Like Napoleon said, it's always about the land. Compare the territories, Med Union and the Roman Empire. Notice any similarities? It's a restoration of the Roman Empire, which controlled all the land around the Mediterranean. In fact, the Romans called it our Roman lake. That's what they call the Mediterranean. King of the North controls Babylon. In my research, I discovered this, that what is called the King of the North somehow always controls the city of Babylon, or ends up controlling the city of Babylon. It was first in the hand of the Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, then the Seleucids. The first Seleucid was a Roman client. And so this is a transition between Greek control and then finally Roman control of the city of Babylon. Rome. Now who's there? NATO. It's their headquarters. The headquarters of the NATO forces in southern Iraq is the city of Babylon. It's called Camp Babylon. This is an old poster. Whenever they were working to unify Europe, it shows what they believe is a picture of the Tower of Babel. Really, Babel looked more like this. This is a ziggurat, and this is what Nimrod built, and others after him built in major cities in Mesopotamia. They built the center of the city was a ziggurat, which was a religious. The temple's at the top, and they found the base of what they feel is the Tower of Babel. It was called, in the old Urdu, or whatever the language was in that day, Neo-Babylonian language, was called the platform between heaven and earth. The intercessory place between heaven and earth. The high priest, in this case, Nimrod, when he built his, he stayed at the top. The very top is where that temple is. Now, if you look back, you go back to Bethel, you look at the story of Jacob, before he set up the pillar, poured oil on it. What did he see? He saw the stairway to heaven. He said his angels were going up and down. Who was at the top? God was at the top of the stairway. He saw God at the top. And he made the covenant with God, who stood at the top of the stairway. This is nothing less than a counterfeit of the real thing that Jacob saw. The stairway to heaven with God, in this case Yahweh, being the one who is the link, Jesus Christ, the link between God's throne in heaven and the earth. It's a counterfeit. Looks like a stairway, doesn't it? That's what it was. Ishtar Gate, Easter Gate. This was rebuilt by Saddam Hussein, actually, rebuilt this Ishtar Gate. This is the gate entrance to the city of Babylon that leads to the temple of the platform between heaven and earth. Camp Babylon. It was the Marines who went in and took over the city of Babylon. They were there. They turned it over to NATO. Now NATO troops control the whole province of Babel. These are recent wars of NATO. Why I'm doing this, I'm showing you that the King of the North is already there. They're already in the Middle East. They've got troops there. And North Africa, they're there already. Why do you think the Arab countries are getting so angry, that hate the West so much? Because these troops are there in their countries that they believe belongs to them. In territory that they believe they own, including Palestine. Folks, including Palestine. Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, Gulf of Aden, these are all NATO troops. NATO is a combination of United States and Europe, Canada. It's a mixture between what we understand to be modern Israel and the Romans. Mixed together, one group fighting together in the Middle East and North Africa. These are all United Nations troops that are European. Golan Heights, Lebanon, you got Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, French, many different European armies are working together in this part of the world, all over Middle East and North Africa. Ivory Coast, the French just sent in troops to the Ivory Coast in West Africa. Picture of an Italian soldier, part of UNIFIL in Lebanon. Now listen. Daniel 2:41, where you saw the feet, toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And they're not going to stick together. It won't work. It may work for a time, but potter's clay and iron don't mix. They don't stick together. We don't know how this is going to end up. It could be that some of these, what we consider to be nations of Dan, Benjamin, Ephraim, and other countries, they'll pull out. We just have to wait and see. Then the real kingdom is set up. Once this is all over, the real kingdom is set up. The one that Daniel talks about. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. It's going to be Christ himself and his people that run that kingdom. Shall consume all of these others and shall stand forever. Micah 4, many nations then are going to come. They're going to come. They're going to bow at the feet of Jesus Christ. They're going to lick the dust. They want others to lick the dust? They're going to lick the dust at his feet. Once again, we really appreciate the chance to come here and be with all of you. We really, it's really something to see the young people, really. It really is. They've all grown up. What's going on? We just leave for a few years, 12 years, whatever it is. We come back and people are growing up. It really is wonderful to see. It's wonderful to see the participation as well of the young people in the Church of God here. We're very happy, very excited, we're thrilled. I'm pumped. I'm excited. When we get back over there, we're going to hit it again. So we thank you for the invitation. We really do appreciate it.